Welcome to the August 22nd, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Make Her Welcome, Set Her Free. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. How's everyone this morning? Thanks, Raymond. How is everybody else this morning? We welcome you to worship at College Park. We are so glad that you have joined us for worship this morning. We would like to find out who is here today. The way we do that is we have pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad and write your name down, give us any contact information and check the appropriate boxes, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. That's very helpful for us. We do ask, when it gets to the last person on the pew, if you could start it back to the inside aisle where it started. We do ask, once it gets back to the first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A few announcements that we'll make, many things that you'll find in our upcoming events and our opportunities for the week. But I want to highlight a couple of things. Today we are having children's celebration. This is when all the children, during the second hymn, hymn number 328, all the children are going to come down the aisles and we'll leave this through these doors here and go to Smith Hall for the rest of the service for a special time just for the kids. Parents, you can pick your children back up in Smith Hall at the end of the service. Also, this Wednesday, we're finishing up our study on the Ten Commandments. We're having a cookout. We want you to come and be a part of that. The cookout is at 6:30 with the Bible study following. We do have some special things for the children. We have a nursery for the young ones, and then there's some activities for the children. So come for the cookout, stay for the Bible study, and we'll be done by 7:30 Wednesday night. Next Sunday is the kickoff to our new year. We are celebrating that in a variety of ways. One of the things that we do, our family ministry, that is our preschoolers, our children, our youth, our college students, their families, we're going to get together in Smith Hall. At 9 o'clock, there's the recreation service. We're just going to be a part of that service. Then at 9:45, we'll have some food and some activities, including a sneak peek at the new preschool hall. We're hoping to be able to get in that hallway next Sunday morning. Just, it's not quite ready, but we're going to be able to see it. But next Sunday morning, there'll be a for all families, preschool, children, youth, college, and their parents. We're going to be in Smith Hall. So that would be from 9:45 until we'll have a special service of affirmation at 11 o'clock. This is a time that we set aside at the beginning of the school year to pray for all of our students, our teachers, our parents, administrators, Sunday school teachers, anyone that's involved in education, in teaching our young people. We're going to stop and to pray for them specifically next Sunday. This also kicks off our new year for prayer partners. We, all of the students, children all the way through college, have adult prayer partners, and we kick that off next Sunday. We've done that for the last several years. It's a huge part of our ministry. We do ask that if you're already a prayer partner with a young person and you want to keep that young person as your partner for the coming year, all you need to do is let me know by this Wednesday. I've received some phone calls already. I appreciate you doing that. We'll make sure not to put those young people out for selection next week. But once the service is over, it's very easy for you to become a prayer partner. There'll be a table with envelopes, and it'll say either child, youth, or college student. And you'll go by and you'll choose which age group you want. You'll grab an envelope and you'll open up, and that will be your prayer partner for the year. So you'll get instructions on how to do that. It is a powerful part of our ministry, and we appreciate those. We have quite a number of young people in our church, and we need every adult to pick up an envelope to make sure everybody is being prayed for. So we look forward to starting that up next week. Let me see. Mitch.
Well, I had some happy things to report, but Jeff kind of just yanked them right out from under me about y'all know about when the preschool level is going to be ready. Cost-wise, it's about where we said it was going to track. The total for the preschool hall will be somewhere around $210,000, won't be over that. And that'll take us down to about $50,000 in our building fund. And sadly, that means R.P. Murray's going to be leaving us until we come up with what we need for the next level. So with $50,000, and we're estimating no more than $175,000 to do the upper level, and that will finish up the children's portion, preschool and elementary school levels. So if somebody wants to pull out their checkbook, $125,000, we can just tell R.P. Murray to stay here, that we're going to go ahead and jump up to the next level. The other thing I want to say is Robert Blankenship has really had a challenge. He is our facility properties manager here that takes care of all the cleaning up and things. And with all the construction, he's had quite a bit more to do. So if y'all see him, just give him a big thanks, because he's really had a lot, kind of doubled his workload trying to clean up behind them and doing his regular stuff too. So, and that's all I have.
Big thank you to Mitch and the Facility Update Committee. They work very hard, and it's exciting to see what's going on in there. And we look forward to opening that up to our preschoolers and moving on up to elementary. Let me see. I think that's all the announcements. Any other? You good? Good. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. They would like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest, as the ushers come back down the aisles, just raise your hand right where you are. They'll recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's happening. Many things going on in the life of our church, and we are especially blessed by your presence today. And we thank you, and we pray that God would reveal himself in a mighty way to you. It is time for us to worship. What does that mean? I mean, is it just something we just do on Sunday morning? Is it just part of our routine? Well, it's Sunday, I need to be at church. How often do we let it slip by that you and I get to be in the presence of the Almighty God, to experience His grace and His mercy? He changes lives every day for those who allow Him to come in and transform them. Are you ready to be changed this morning? Let us prepare for worship.
You.
Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Father, you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our lives. And in the beauty of the music, you have prepared our hearts to come into your presence. Let this morning not be routine. Let this morning be different. Let it be more than words on a page or a prayer spoken like all the others. Let this morning be yours. Do with this worship service as you please. Change lives. Open us up to experience you brand new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Revised Common Lectionary. We'll be reading one passage from the Old Testament, one passage from the New Testament. Our passage from the Old Testament comes from Psalm 103. We'll be reading the first eight verses of Psalm 103. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. This is Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And from the New Testament, in the book of James, the second chapter of James, beginning at verse 1. James 2:1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of our holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, what an honor and privilege to be in your house and in your presence today. Lord, I lift up to you everyone in this room right now. I lift up our joys and praises and victories and triumphs, for we know that you have had a hand in all of it and you're responsible for all of it. At the same time, Lord, we lift up our concerns and our heartaches and our stresses and the things that are occupying our time and energy as we worry about our health and our relationships and our jobs and our families, and we worry about a lot of things, Lord, that we cannot control, but they are under your control. And we lift those up to you. We pray to you because we love you and honor you, because we want to be faithful to you and the promises that you have made for us and you that you have lived up to every minute of every day of our lives. Lord, thank you for watching over us. Thank you for all that you do in our lives every day. When we look at what you are doing, Lord, in our lives and in the lives of those that we care about, what you're doing in the life of this church and in this community, Lord, there are so many reasons to be encouraged. And I'm so encouraged, Lord, to see the way that you're working around us. It is so powerful to see the way that you are changing lives, to see the way that the effect that your grace and mercy is having on us, to see the barriers that you tear down and the hearts and relationships that you repair and build up. It is so powerful, Lord, and we have so many reasons to be encouraged. Lord, help us that encouragement to give us energy so that we may be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Help us to see the ways that we can minister, to use the gifts that you've given us, to reach out to others and spread your love. Because as you have taught us, Lord, when we share what you've given us, we become stronger and we grow closer to you. And that's the way that we want to live. Help us to be a source of joy, a source of encouragement to those around us. Help us to look for the people who are hurting and see how we can help, even if it's just a small and simple way. Lord, please use us and help us to live not for ourselves and certainly not for this world, but for you. Lord, thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for giving us encouragement and joy and hope through you and through the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, given for us, despite who we are. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah. The hymn tells us to magnify his name and to be wonderful, that in all of our transgressions, he reaches down and wants to have a relationship with us. How wonderful that is. Pray with me, please. Our glorious and wonderful Heavenly Father, how amazing and unbelievable that you would want to have a relationship with us in all of our inabilities and shortcomings. But through your grace, you have poured out on us your love, and we rejoice and are grateful in that. We pray, Father, that you would fill us up with so much joy and love and your grace that we would want to reach out to those around us, that we may be your hands and feet in our schools, in our workplace, and in our community. We pray, Father, that you would use our talents and these gifts and offerings to your glory and to your kingdom. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you. blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Last week, we heard Jesus say he'd come to bring fire on the earth, and that kind of stirred things up a little bit. And this morning, we see him in the middle of another somewhat controversial situation, and I want to invite you to read it with me. We'll be in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and we'll read verses 10 down through verse 17. Luke 13, 10 through 17. It reads like this. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. What was exactly the nature of this lady's problem? We don't know. But I know that many of you are well aware of the fact that chronic pain can change your outlook on life, can it? if you hurt, you don't see the world in a different way. You know, she could not stand up straight. Maybe she had arthritis. Maybe it was, you know, a disc problem. We don't know. You know, if a modern doctor were to examine her, you know, he might be able to say. But what we can say is that probably every morning when she tried to get out of bed, she hurt. She just hurt. Now, did she have a family? Someone to kind of help her, you know, bring her along and or did she have to face this pain daily all by herself? We wish we knew. We don't know the answer. We don't even know her name. But we know her circumstance. And we know something else. We also know that she was in a welcoming community. She was at synagogue on a Sabbath. There were other worshipers that were there listening to the traveling rabbi named Jesus. He was teaching. Well, whatever mean thing that we want to think about the leader of the synagogue, and trust me, I thought a lot of mean things the first time I read this passage. You know, whatever we want to think about him, we need to remember this point that she is there. She's in worship as one of the group. So she's there of a free choice, just like you're here of your free choice this morning. And nothing in the story would make you think that the other worshipers thought that she didn't belong there, right? Now, the narrator of the story tells us that her illness came from an evil spirit. But the narrator has a God's eye view on it, right? He has a different perspective than probably the people who were there. He has a God's view on it. And we aren't told what the other worshipers in the synagogue thought. Even if they had concluded that there was a demon that was plaguing her, they thought that it was fine for her to be in worship. Is our congregation that welcoming? Well, of course. That's our answer, right? Well, sure we are. And maybe we're right. I don't want to judge us unfairly, but you know, I would say that we would not exclude a woman whose life was miserable. I don't think we would exclude her. But the question, maybe the bigger question is, what would we do to include her? See what I'm saying? We wouldn't consciously exclude her, but what would we do to include her, to make our congregation a supportive place for her? You know, endless physical pain, from what I'm told, I'm fortunate so far I haven't had that, but endless pain, they tell me, causes depression, it causes you to be irritable, causes you to be angry at circumstances that normally you would not. So here's where she is. You know, that type of pain makes perhaps our buildings a challenge, or maybe the worship service is something that you just endure instead of enjoy. So what, if we expand our thinking, not go a little bit, take another step, instead of just thinking about chronic physical pain, what about other challenges? Think about maybe those who are physically or developmentally challenged. Maybe those with deep and persistent emotional struggles that just wear them out. You know, we have to wonder of how well we do welcoming those people. How about welcoming everyone, all people?
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Don't we? Seriously, think about it. That's a good question. You know, don't we want to go where people know our name? Don't we want to go where people welcome us? So you may sit there thinking, well, you know, what does the Cheers theme have to do with it? Well, here's the deal. I guarantee you there'll be more people in bars like Cheers today than there are in worship in Winston-Salem. I bet I'm right on that. And why is it? Why is it? Well, the words may give us a clue. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad that you came. You want to be where you can see that your troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You know, isn't that what we want? We want to come into a place and be greeted warmly. If they know our name, we would like to be called by name. Am I completely off track here? Is it just me? Am I right or wrong, choir? Okay. All right, good. I can always count on my choir back here. You know, we want to have that sense of comfort, that sense of welcoming. You know, true. Now, I understand. I know. I get the fact that worship, the bigger picture is that we are here to worship God. And it really should not be about us. But until people get to that point, what brings us to church? What brings those who don't know Christ? What brings them to church? What brings them into the fellowship of this congregation? I know, because I've asked some. I know what they want. They want to go to a place where they'll be accepted and encouraged just like they are, not like we want them to be. See, that's the kicker. And until church members understand that, we're going to continue to ask the question, why aren't we growing more? And we're going to stand there with stupefied responses because we don't have a good answer to the question. This story really kind of pushes us out a little bit. It pushes us to look for those folks who are hurting and to do what we can to make them welcome and lead them into a relationship with the perfect Son of God who gave his life for them too. I'll be honest with you. I feel like we do a pretty good job of welcoming those who come to us. And the reason I feel that way is because I hear back from many of them. I call them during the course of the week. You know, how were things? Did you enjoy? Oh, this warm congregation. We were welcome. We were spoke to. You know, we couldn't hardly get out of the place. Everybody was talking to us. And that's not a bad reputation to have, okay? That's not a bad reputation. But that's good. But what's the flip side of it? The flip side is, how well do we go out there and bring people in? We're fine when they show up at our door. But how good are we at going out and bring them in? Those that we pass, you know, every day that are hurting and in need. Do we extend the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and then bring them in, invite them in to a congregation that will love and encourage and welcome them? I think we do a good job at welcoming. I think we need to do a better job at reaching out and bringing in. The second question that came to my mind as I looked at this passage is, are we a liberating community? I think we're a welcoming community, but are we a liberating community? What I mean by that is the action in this story starts when Jesus spots the lady and calls her over. He doesn't ask her a single question. Understand, in Luke's gospel, Jesus is presented as someone who has God-given insights into the thoughts, the hidden thoughts of men and women. He knows what we're thinking. And he knows what she suffers from and why, as God's agent, he needs to step up and free her. Immediately, she's able to stand. And what was her response? Once she's able to stand, what's her response? That's right. She praised God. She got it. She understood what had happened to her. She knew the nature of her illness. She praises God. And just as immediately, the leader of the synagogue complains about what happens. And she fusses at the lady and the other people there. And get this, she didn't fuss at Jesus. He didn't have the nerve for that. He fusses at the people and the lady. In effect, says, you know, there's 6 days when you could have been healed during the week. You should have come then. This is Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. That's what he said. Read it again. That's exactly what he said. So let's listen to the ruler. It's hard to work up some sympathy for him, but I've tried. You know, I have really tried. So listen to the ruler with as much sympathy as we can, because understand where he's coming from. He is trying to preserve the law. Okay? And let's be a little sympathetic. He knows the Sabbath. He knows the Sabbath should be holy. He knows that we should not work on the Sabbath. We shouldn't do those type of things. And if healing is work for Jesus, then he probably shouldn't have done that. That's his mindset. Okay, understand that. So if Jesus is going to heal on that day, we have to think about healing in a little bit different fashion. Maybe it's not work. But see, the rabbi's criticism, regardless, is off target because he fusses at the woman for being healed and she didn't ask for it. Jesus just provided it. It's all wrong. More significantly, the synagogue leader is wrong to think that healing dishonors the Sabbath. Because Jesus' analogy was perfect. He says, if your animals are starving, you feed them. If they're dying from thirst, you water them. What about if they're dying from thirst spiritually? Emotionally? You feed them. You give them something to drink. That's what Jesus is saying. This is a woman whose life is just sheer misery. And what she needs is relief from her constant pain. So healing her on the Sabbath honors God. Liberating her from Satan's grip gives glory to God, as only God's power could have made that happen. In fact, Jesus argues, the Sabbath is the most appropriate time for this to happen, especially because she's Abraham's daughter, a member of the group that God chose. Remember, God chose this people and raised them up from an elderly couple that was barren. God freed these people from slavery in Egypt. He rescued them over and over again from other kings, and he brought them out of exile in Babylon. So, of course, God wants this woman to be free. And releasing her on the Sabbath shows exactly where God's heart is. He wants us to be free. So, we are a welcoming community. I believe that. We've got a learning curve here. We need to go out. We need to be better at bringing people in. Are we a liberating community? Are we truly setting people free? Or are we enslaving them to some whatever? Are we truly liberating people? How are we doing as a force for liberation? Again, I don't want to judge, but we may be more like the synagogue leader than we want to admit. You know, because when we look at what our congregation actually does, do those things bring honor to God by helping to free people from what binds them? That's my question. That's what I've struggled with all week. You know, if our measure of congregational health is bodies in the seats and money in the plates, then we're probably doing a whole lot less liberating just because we don't have time or energy for it. So I think maybe we need to find the woman like the one in this story, find women like the one in this story, find people like the one in this story, people whose lives are trapped by life-sapping forces that are just too huge for them. And make sure that they're welcome, that they are invited, that they are brought into this community. And then help introduce them to the one who will set them free. And then judge what we do by what it does for people like that. Are we helping to set them free? If so, then that's a good Sabbath's work. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we know we're not perfect. We've got a lot of work to do. You're still working on us. We're still working on us. But we pray that you would touch our hearts this morning, that you would convict us at our area, a point of our arrogance and our pride. And sometimes we don't like to be told we're not doing everything we could be doing. And Father, I don't like to hear it either. But your Holy Spirit convicts us. It encourages. It gives us the strength. It gives us the grace and mercy to be more Christ-like so that others can come to know the Christ. Father, guide us this week. Help us to recognize those that you place in our path who need a gentle touch, who need a word of encouragement, who need an appropriate hug, all of those things. Help us to be your agents to a world that is desperately seeking freedom, but are seeking it in the wrong places, the wrong times. Father, we pray that as we sing together, that you would truly set our hearts free to know you more perfectly, to experience you more fully, and to love you unashamedly. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, you go, wow, okay, I don't know Jesus, but I think I would like to now. We'd love to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll be here at the front when we stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with Christ. If you say, I don't want to come up in front of all those people, that's all right. Give me a call this week. I'll come to where you are and we'll talk about it and get that straight. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but you know, I'm kind of slipped a little bit. And my focus has been about me when it needs to be about others. And I know that now. I realize that. And I want to kind of get back on track. You can certainly pray that prayer where you are. God will hear you, touch you, encourage you, make you a new creation. If you'd like to come, I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you as well. If you're here and you say, well, from what I hear and what I've experienced, this is a welcoming community. I want to join with you, quote, an official way, be a church member. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I just pray and ask you to take this time that we have, not just time to sing, but time to hear the bidding of the Holy Spirit and respond appropriately. Let's stand up and sing together. Before you leave today, we are truly a welcoming congregation. Visit around you, welcome those, welcome one another, welcome those who are guests with us, and I pray that you have a great week. Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Dear Father, thank you for this wonderful day, an opportunity to worship you freely. Father, we pray that as we go from here, our hearts will be changed, that we'll see people with your eyes. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.